Huh.
Who's that guy?
Hey.
That guy.
So, welcome to week 689 of the Crankcast. Yay.
Hi.
What do you want?
What?
I said, what do you want?
This is your show.
You called me.
I returned your call.
You instigated it this morning.
Oh. Well, that's because you emailed me yesterday.
Yeah. But that was yesterday. Today's today. So what are we talking about?
I don't know.
Okay. I finished Lena Finkel's Magic Barrel.
What? Look, Sean's not here. He doesn't understand your... He's not here to talk about your weird book things.
My weird book things?
Is that a book thing?
That was a book thing. Mm. It was a comic book thing.
Was it?
Well, that was one of the ones that prompted a couple weeks ago. I was asking about the difference between like our world of comics and like the major publishing world of comics.
Oh, right.
Because this was a book put out by Penguin. And I was trying to figure out like, you know, just how they seem to be similar yet different places.
Well, the difference is they probably got paid a lot of money to make that comic.
Yeah, and, you know, they probably make more book lists and stuff like that. They get more individual recognition for their work, probably. But, and I'm going to murder the author's name, but her name is Anya Yelenich? 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 No, it's probably Yitch, right? It's Russian.
I'm not going to work there anymore.
Goddamn Russians.
Well, she's an American Russian. I should say.
Goddamn American Russians. Those are the worst kind. Hiding in plain sight.
Well, it's not like she's a no-American. Those are the people hiding in plain sight. Because they make you think they're Americans. But they're not. No. Damn no-Americans.
Yeah.
Anyway. So I finished that. And I think I briefly explained. I don't think it's actual... Well, it's not... biographical, because it's the main character's name is different from the author's name, but I think it must be somewhat autobiographical, because it seems awfully personal to just be completely made up.
It's called semi-autobiographical.
I guess, yeah, sure.
Publishing world.
A fictional story drawing from actual, you know, elements of personal history. It was interesting. I don't know what else. I mean, it's because it's basically about this, you know, lady who gets divorced and has a couple of kids and lives in New York and is trying to adapt to a different lifestyle.
Does she get her groove back?
Oh, she gets her groove back.
Okay.
She joins OKCupid and everything.
Really?
Yeah. And she has many torrid love affairs.
Torrid?
Well, I don't know about torrid, but... Well, sure, torrid. They're definitely emotionally upheaving.
That's what torrid means?
Well, I don't know. I mean, you know, torrid I think just means sort of like...
Do you know what torrid means, Grant?
Do you know what torrid means, Mike? I'm gonna look up torrid right now. Well, torrid is not a plus size fashion line. I mean, it is a plus size fashion line, but
it's a plus size fashion line.
Yeah, it was a spinoff. It was like Hot Topic's plus size fashion line.
Torrid?
Yeah, that's what it was called.
I guess that sounds Hot Topic-y.
Ardent and passionate. So yes, torrid would fit the bill in this case, because at least one of those relationships in this book is very ardent and passionate. Hey, and Merriam-Webster's word of the day is tchotchke, by the way. We are not sponsored or endorsed by Merriam-Webster.
Speak for yourself.
Well, not all of us are, anyway. Another definition of torrid is parched with heat, especially of the sun. And the B definition under that is giving off intense heat.
Would you define me as torrid?
No, I probably would define you as torpid.
What's torpid?
That's actually pretty insulting. I'm sorry.
What did you say to me? What did you call me?
Torpid.
I hate you and your education now that you're all smart.
Now that I'm all smart?
Yeah, you got that dictionary. You think you're all haughty.
Oh, haughty. Nice one. Let's see. Merriam-Webster defines torpid as sluggish in functioning or action.
That's pretty accurate, though.
Or having lost motion or the power of exertion or feeling.
That's, yeah, I mean, you're not wrong.
And then, of course, exhibiting or characterized by torpor. You know.
Who's torpor?
A character from Strong Bad, I think. Or the second definition is lacking in energy or vigor. Apathetic, dull, you know.
You know what? This does sound like me.
So.
I'm sorry. You're right.
No, and I'm sorry, because that's actually, it's sort of insulting to call somebody torpid. You know? Mm-hmm. Whether it's accurate or not, I think it's still probably insulting.
No, I'm sorry.
No, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry?
Are you? What's he sorry about?
Who knows?
I was just not understanding, so I was...
Oh, you were being sycophantic.
You are just picking... Are you just picking words out now?
No, sycophantic would fit this, I think.
Oh, my God.
Well, sycophantic might be strong, because that's implying that he's going to get something out of it.
Relationship.
That wasn't even close.
What?
You're the Gungans.
You sound like the lost member of Black Sabbath more than you do.
There was a lost member of Black Sabbath? There were so many members of Black Sabbath.
You're the Gungans.
Has he been watching Yellow Submarine?
He is really doing a Liverpool there.
Yeah. Guess it could kind of be a Geordie.
All you need is Gungan.
He sounds a little bit like the Fox Todd from... Plague Dogs.
You mean people's are gonna die?
So.
I hate you.
Huh. So anyway, yeah, I finished Lena Finkel.
Jim's here.
I heard. He's gonna have to give us part two this week.
Mm.
But yeah, so I finished at Lena Finkel's Magic Barrel. And if you're into comics about real life, I can recommend it. It seems pretty well done.
Is it like Ollie Hop Noodle Summer of Fun?
I don't know what that is.
It's the sequel to Christmas Story.
Oh.
Which I didn't know there actually was a Christmas Story 2 until yesterday.
I never really got the Christmas Story love.
What?
My brother, seriously, used to watch it because TBS plays it 24/7 on Christmas.
Yeah.
And would watch it every viewing. Yeah, wouldn't change the channel. Just kept watching it like he was... caught in a loop.
Would you say he was caught in a trap and he can't get out?
No. Oh. He is currently.
Oh, well, yeah.
But no. But no, he's not.
Do you think he still watches it on his Clear TV?
No. He doesn't have a TV anymore.
Oh.
He's been trying to get me to buy him another one, which would make four.
Wow. Where do they all go?
He either gives them or other inmates take them from him.
Fair enough. Yeah, my parents were really into Christmas Story for a while there, too. They still quote parts of it. And I finally understand how you don't like Princess Bride.
I like Princess Bride. I just don't like people that... Right. I don't like people that quote the movie to me.
Right. You used to get really annoyed by that, I remember.
Yeah, it bugs me. It's the same way with the Holy Grail movie.
Uh-huh. Stop.
What?
Quoting the movie.
What movie?
Princess Bride.
You never quote Princess Bride.
You want me to stop, Will?
What are you talking about?
Hey, have fun storming the castle, okay?
Inconceivable.
Is Ryan leaving?
We're going to eat lunch.
Oh.
I thought you guys already ate lunch.
He didn't go with us.
You gotta go eat a sandwich.
So, Ryan's off to have a couple of Sandos, huh?
He's going to have some Sandos.
Yeah.
He's
going to
have
a Mando.
Do you think... I don't know if he plays his Mando while he has a Sando. You probably do.
I think it would be hard to... Well, I mean, I guess maybe if you put the Sando in one of those harmonica holders, like Bob Dylan used.
Oh, yeah.
Then you could play the Mando and eat a Sando at the same time.
I would definitely like to try to eat... a sandwich out of a harmonica holder.
Well.
What if you ate the Sando while Lando played the Mando?
Whoa. yeah, and speaking of playing there, I'm impressed by your tiny saxophone skills.
Yeah? Are you?
Yeah, I want you on my next album.
Okay.
Keep practicing that tiny sax.
That's true.
The tiny, tiny sax.
We were going to get dog treats at Home Goods for some reason. I don't understand the logic behind that. But they have toys there, and I saw a little like baby piano and a baby drum set and the baby saxophone. And I saw it. I was like, I wonder if I could play Baker Street on that. So I bought it because it was $7.99.
$7.99 well spent.
Yep.
So it makes you wonder, like, when the toy maker was designing that tiny sax, do you think maybe they made it so that it could play Baker Street?
That I don't know, because it only has 8 keys on it. It is very limited in its range. Because I want to try and learn Careless Whisper next, but I feel like there's too much of a range in that.
Hmm. So is it really like a saxophone and then it's got like a reed, or do you blow into
it? No, it has no reed. It's like a recorder that way. You're just blowing air.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And you have to open the keys in order for it to make any sound.
Huh. I see. I want to finish up my book talk real quick, though, before I forget. So after that, I'm now reading, I'm reading a book called Footnotes from Gaza.
Uh-huh. Is that another comic?
Yeah, but it's like a journalism comic, or a comic by a journalist, journalist illustrator. But it's talking about, well, I guess the footnotes in question are about a couple of cases back in the mid-50s where the Israeli army basically slaughtered a bunch of Palestinians.
Uh-huh.
Which, you know, they never told us this stuff in school.
No.
Because, growing up, it was all, the Jews were treated really badly, so they were given Israel back as sort of somewhat of a compensation. That was more or less the thing we were told,
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Which sounds good on the surface, right? I mean, an entire people was, hunted and whatnot and killed and tortured. So let's give them a place to stay.
Mm-hmm.
But they, growing up and being taught about that stuff, we were never taught that they displaced an entire people that had lived there for, like, thousands of years.
Mm-hmm.
Which, that doesn't sound so good.
Nope.
And it kind of puts it in perspective. In fact, I think if it was mentioned, like, the conflict between the Palestinians and the Israelis, it was sort of put into a light that the Palestinians were the bad guys.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which, I mean, I don't agree with a lot of the tactics they've used. Much in the way I don't think the IRA was in the right a lot either,
Well, they weren't.
I mean, in principle...
what they were trying to say, sure. But
right, in principle...
You never say anything with a bomb.
Right, you don't go blowing up school buses of children and stuff like that. That's just not,
Never say anything with a bomb, except for...
A bomb.
Hey, guess what, you're dead.
Well, you could say
that's
the
bomb. Only thing you say with a bomb.
Yeah, I mean...
You do say boom with a bomb.
Yeah. But yeah, it's just, all this stuff was stuff I never really knew as a kid, is what I'm saying, so... It wasn't actually until my 30s that I started realizing that maybe things were more complicated than I was told.
Well, it also seemed like history classes, especially, I remember taking, U.S. history, it seemed like you always ran out of time at the end of the year before you got to anything close to, current.
Mm-hmm.
It would just kind of peter out around, Cold War. Barely dip into Cold War. And
right.
It's like, oh, sorry, class is over. Time for finals.
Yeah, because, we were really never even taught about, the Civil Rights Movement or anything, And that was, when I was in grade school, that was still relatively recent, I mean, 20 years, but still, And when I say the Civil Rights Movement, we're in the 60s when a lot of really violent stuff was happening. But we were never really told much about that either. But yeah, current history or recent history always seem to, and I don't know if that's just a case of textbooks not being updated, so it didn't make it in the curriculum?
No, because I remember seeing some of that stuff in the textbook, and we just never would get to it.
Huh.
It's
not, what we're talking about is not an unusual or uncommon thing. I remember reading an article recently about that, about recent history not really being taught much in schools, for whatever reason. I'm thinking more in grade schools and high school, but they don't really even get in the depth about why things happen, especially if the U.S. was involved a lot of times. I never really understood why we were in Korea in the 40s.
That's true. 50s, the 50s, 50s, 50s. Early 50s.
Yeah.
They never talked about Korea really.
I mean, essentially all I knew about Korea at that age was MASH. And from that I inferred that it was just as bad as Vietnam. And in fact, they really never even got into the politics of why we were in Vietnam when I was in school.
No.
So it's all we knew was that we were involved in a bunch of stuff, but we weren't really ever told why. But anyway, so I just started reading this Footnotes from Gaza. And that seems pretty interesting so far. I'm just right at the beginning of it. I imagine it's probably going to be kind of depressing.
I hear it's the feel-good book of the year.
of the year when it came out in 2009 or whatever?
Mm, yep.
Okay. So that's another one of those books I got really cheap, but it's a nice, really, like, hardcover library jacket that I got for, like, $3 or something like that. You know? Oversized format, nice print, a lot of pages, footnotes and interviews and everything. But I'll report back on that later.
Please do.
I'm also on, like, book 5 or 6 of the Odd Thomas stuff now.
Yeah.
Dean Koontz?
That is Dean Koontz.
Wow.
Okay,
dude.
Well, you know.
It is the best Dean Koontz book.
I like the story and I like the character, and that's enough to get me past the fact that Dean Koontz repeats himself a lot.
Yep.
And I don't necessarily...
As I've said before, he repeats Stephen King a lot.
Well, but I mean, he actually literally repeats things he says in the book, like, a lot. like he, you know, he'll repeat something that was said just in the last chapter sometimes. Like, I guess to hammer it home? I don't know. I'm not really sure what the reason. Maybe it's just to pad the book out? I don't know. But, or I'm sure he has, like, a legitimate artistic reason for doing it. But it's kind of one of those things where it's like having a recap right after something happens in a movie, and you're like, we just saw that last scene. Like, yeah. But I do like the story and the characters now. But it gets really weird, dude. If you only made it to like the second book or something like that.
I didn't make it to the second book.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it gets really weird past the first book. Like,
just, I thought the movie was okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what prompted me to start reading these. Because I rewatched the movie, and I was like, you know, I like this movie.
And I like this movie.
Then I found out it was a Dean Koontz thing, and I'm like, oh, should I? But I went ahead and tried it anyway.
You know what I just decided? I like this movie.
Oh, I like this. This is good. This makes me laugh. But, so yeah.
Phantoms, huh? Two best Dean Koontz.
Oh, what was an early... Demon Seed? Yeah, they had Julie Christie in it.
Was that Koontz?
Yeah, I think so.
Koontz.
I don't remember whether I've read the book or not, but I think he has a book called Demon Seed, which I think is what the movie's based on.
Demon Seed?
It's about a computer that falls in love with a woman. It's like a Less Funny Electric Dreams or whatever. Not Electric Dreams. What was that book or that movie with the guy that builds a computer and it falls in love with
that? That was Electric Dreams.
Oh, okay. Electric Dreams, yeah.
What was the one that just came out about the Siri, falling in love with Siri?
Her.
Wasn't there another one like that too, though?
There's been a lot of computer falls in love with you movies.
Oh, yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, 1001, Space Odyssey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Open the pod bay doors, Hal. But,
I rewatched Hellboy.
The first one?
Yeah, I didn't, weirdly enough, I barely enjoyed watching it. I don't know, I remember loving it. Have I changed?
Probably. Mm-hmm. Your tastes?
Changed.
You might have been in a better receptive mood when you first watched it.
Yeah.
I find that affects my enjoyment of things a lot. And if I go back and rewatch them in a different mood, sometimes I like them or dislike them, depending. I'm trying to think. I did actually rewatch Hellboy last year. And I thought it was okay, but it wasn't like, I don't know. Wasn't that exciting?
Yeah.
The I thought the, you know, I mean, the effects and the makeup and stuff were pretty good, right?
Yeah, all that was good. All that held up pretty well.
Are they still remaking that?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
He looks way more demonic.
It looks like the difference between.
Like the difference between its.
It's the difference between, like, regular Halloween and Rob Zombie Halloween. It looks like Rob Zombie's making this movie.
Oh.
Yeah, I hear
you
on that.
It's like Hellboy for Juggalos.
Well, you know, I mean, come on, the Juggalos need something, too.
It's like, I don't know what they thought the tone was off on before, but I don't think Hellboy screams to be more serious.
I mean, the original movies are pretty dark. I mean, not necessarily all the way through in tone, but definitely in vibe. Like,
you know, I shouldn't badmouth anybody online on the air, but I really didn't care for what's-her-name's performance as Liz Sherman.
Oh, she listens, though.
I know. I'm sorry. I've liked you on other things.
Like the Swedish thing? That was, you loved her in that?
The Swedish thing?
Yeah, the Swedish thing. That's what I said.
Is that what Travis Bickle took Cybill Shepherd to see?
Yes.
Taxi Driver? She looked like she didn't want to be in that movie.
She looks like that a lot. I think that's just her face.
That's just her face. Speaking of remakes, because I just recently rewatched this because I like it.
I think she has MS now. I think she just came out and said that.
Oh, shit. Really?
Yeah.
Is that what...
something sad.
Is that what Michael J. Fox is?
No.
Oh.
You're confusing her.
What did Michael J. Fox
say? Selma Blair is...
She plays Parker Posey's sister in Lost in Space.
Oh, she is?
Yeah.
Oh.
That's actually kind of a perfect cast.
Yeah, it is.
No, they did it really well.
Parker Posey's in Lost in Space?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She's the Dr. Doctor. Smith.
Oh, that's perfect. I gotta watch that.
She's a good bad person.
She's...
She continues the streak of me wanting to murder Dr. Smith in every iteration of Lost in Space. Like, I hate her.
Yeah.
Dr. Smith was a complicated character because he wasn't really evil. He was just completely selfish.
That's what made him. That's what made me want to kill him even more.
Like,
he almost got that kid killed so many times.
Oh, yeah.
Because of him being selfish or being a coward.
And for being such a smart person, he did a lot of dumb stuff. That I know was like, I mean, it's supposed to be because it's motivated by selfishness, but it's still like, even that seems like it's a really dumb idea.
Especially in the show, he never seemed to give any kind of appearance that he knew any kind of medical anything.
Yeah.
Which I love the way they handle it in the series, the new series.
They changed that up.
Who was, it was Gary Oldman in the movie, right?
Yeah. And he was just scary from the get-go.
Yeah. He seemed a little more sinister than the original. Dr. Smith. So where does Parker Posey fall?
Like, she's sinister. She's more manipulative.
I guess it's not really a spoiler because it's revealed the moment you meet her. But she basically steals the Dr. Smith ID badge off of the real Dr. Smith. And she basically pretends to be a doctor the whole time.
Oh, that would explain... That actually would explain the original Dr. Smith's lack of knowledge of anything.
Yeah.
And what's great is she pretends to be a psychologist. So she, constantly is like, hey, do you want to talk about things? I'm trained. And, like, just manipulates people that way. It's so good. It's so well done. Huh. She's just so... Ugh.
Was that Netflix or Hulu or...
Netflix, yeah.
I'll have to check that out sooner or later.
You better, dude. You better.
It's okay. You probably have, 2 years before they can manage to put out a second season of that. Just because it's so much visual, or so much post-production.
Have we talked about, or have I asked, have you guys seen the remake of Overboard?
We talked about it.
Oh, okay.
Last week, we didn't talk about the movie, but you asked if there was one.
Yeah.
Did you watch it?
No, I was just wondering if it's worth watching, because I really like the original.
I don't think you can make that kind of movie anymore, so... Mm-hmm. You essentially hold a woman hostage and make her your slave.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he did it because she owed him money.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. He had a reason.
Yeah, yeah. And he didn't hurt her, although he did sleep with her under false pretenses.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's pretty creepy.
Yeah? Just so he could get his mini golf course.
Well, but she helped him with the mini golf course. She gave him the idea.
Yeah, but she thought she was his wife.
Yeah, that's true. But does the ending justify all that? Because she found out she did love him.
It was Stockholm Syndrome.
Oh, could be. So, anyway. What else is new? I've watched a bunch of old movies. Have you ever seen A Matter of Life and Death with David Niven? It was from 1954 or 5.
Is that a Powell and Pressburger film?
I don't know. I can probably tell you in a minute.
I feel like it's something I've seen.
It was... Oh, it's 1946. I'm sorry. I had 10 years off. Yeah, Powell and Pressburger.
Okay.
Both directors and writers.
Is it See an Angel?
Well, no, he's a bomber pilot or bomber commander, I guess. And yeah. The plane's going down, and he orders all of his other crew off except for the one that's dying. And he can't jump. Like, he can't jump because his parachute's fucked up. And then he realizes that he can't make the plane come down safely, so he decides to just jump out of it and take his chances. And somehow he makes it, and lands in the water and makes it to the beach and then comes out on okay. But it turns out that it was a mix-up in heaven because it was too foggy, and they couldn't find him.
Yeah.
And so
it's a great movie.
So they and in the meantime, in this extra time he's been given, he falls in love with what's her name? Hold on, I got it right here.
Kim Hunter.
Kim Hunter, yes. And he falls in love with her, and so he makes a case that he shouldn't be taken right away because he's got this new thing, and it wasn't his fault that he got the extra time. So there's a trial in heaven. And it's a really good movie, and it was really impressive in how they kept flipping back and forth between the Technicolor and the black and white. Yeah. All the heaven scenes are all in black and white, and the sets on this stuff are great because they got this endless staircase thing that looks like it shouldn't have been able to have been done practically, but of course it's 1946, so it had to be done practically,
Have you seen a lot of Powell Pressburger films?
I don't know, because I didn't know that this was Powell and Pressburger. So I don't know. Maybe I have? I don't know.
My favorite one they've done is a movie called The Red Shoes, about a dancer.
I don't think I've seen
Visually, it's unreal. Black Narcissus, they did that.
I'm looking at a list of stuff to see if there's anything that sounds familiar.
Colonel Blimp, that's an amazing movie.
I'm not really recognizing it. Well, maybe Black Narcissus. I think I might have seen that.
About the nuns in the mountains.
Yeah, I think, Deborah Kerr and Gene Simmons. I think I might have seen this.
Yeah, their movies are always incredibly visual.
Yeah, that was the big thing about this Matter of Life and Death, is just it was so visually well done and put together that it was...
Yeah.
I don't want to qualify it by saying especially for the time, but especially for the time, given that technology was what it was back in 1946, this was must have been amazing to see it in the theater.
Especially for Morris Day and the time?
Yes, yeah. But I recommend that one. That was a good movie. I saw Paris Blues, too. I'd never seen that before. It's got Sidney Poitier and... what's his name?
Fry?
Newman? No. Is it Newman?
Oh, man, I got that fucking hot sauce in my eye.
Yeah, it was Paul Newman. So, yeah, it's Paul Newman and Sidney Poitier and Joanne Woodward was in it. And Diane and Carol.
I think I've heard...
And it's got a great cameo with Louis Armstrong.
I think I've heard Dove talk about it.
I've never seen it. I thought I've seen most of Paul Newman's movies.
Yeah, this is set in 60s Paris with basically a backdrop of jazz. I always feel like I'm saying, is it Poitier?
Yeah.
Okay, I always feel like I'm saying it wrong when I say it. But
well, I'm not going to correct you if you're wrong.
What, Poitier?
Is it Poitier?
Sidney Poitier?
Poitier? Is it Poitier?
What was that movie he was in with the Highlander bad guy in the 80s? Where he was a detective? Looking for him in the Highlander bad guy. Clancy Brown was a murderer. I think Tom Berenger was in it too, maybe.
Oh.
I don't know if I saw it. I don't know.
I remember it was pretty good.
Huh.
They saw out hunting him in the woods, and he's like a city cop, and he has to have Tom Berenger. Kind of like when...
That's starting to sound familiar.
When Arnold and Iggy were lost in the woods, and they had to find Tom Berenger to help them out.
We'll get to that. And you're talking about Shoot
to Kill. You do a Tom Berenger now?
I've never tried.
And you're talking about Shoot to Kill.
Shoot to Kill.
Had Kirstie Alley in it, too.
That was pretty good.
Oh, I remember commercials for that.
She had amazing eyes. I mean, I guess she still does, but her eyes were always, really impressive.
Grant, I bought this five-pack of sort of medium-level thrillers from the early 2000s and 90s.
Oh, yeah?
So I could get One False Move, which is an incredible movie.
Okay.
So I watched Perfect Stranger with Halle Berry.
Okay.
Have you seen that?
No.
Halle Berry and...
Does she play Cousin Balky?
No, her and Bruce Willis.
He plays Cousin Balky.
Like a CEO. You seen it, Mike?
I remember the commercials for it.
Man, it's a mediocre movie. And then one with John Travolta and James Gandolfini called Love Crimes or something like that.
That's just a bad name.
Lonely Hearts.
That's not a great name either.
Selma Hayek and Jared Leto is a period piece in the late 40s.
Huh.
Another mediocre movie, man.
Oh.
A lot of those.
Yeah, there are.
True Believer, James Woods.
Oh, I think I remember that one.
That one is okay.
That one's got, it's about like a cult or something, right?
No, that's The Believers with Martin Sheen.
Oh, okay.
I hate that movie.
Because it scared you?
No, I hate the bummer ending.
I don't remember.
Wait, is that the one that ends with the demon coming out of the floor?
No.
Oh.
That sounds cool.
There's a movie, I thought that was The Believers.
It's got kind of a Rosemary's Baby ending where the whole family was in on it from the beginning and they sacrifice them.
Oh, that's the one with the apartment building. She moves into the apartment building?
That's mm-hmm. a Sentinel.
Oh, okay. Well, which one's The Believers?
It's Martin Sheen, bro. Smith's with a small cameo in there.
What's
the guy with snakes in his intestines.
What's the movie about the... that's not Martin Sheen. That's, what's his name? You know, the...
Rob.
Airwolf. The mechanic in Airwolf. What's his name?
Ernest Borgnine?
Yeah, it had Ernest Borgnine in it.
And Devil's Reign?
No, that's way older. This one was like 80s. And I think it was a Wes Craven movie.
Hmm.
And it's got Ernest Borgnine, and they're like Amish, but not Amish, but like Amish people. And then there's a non-Amish lady who marries an Amish dude who gets kicked out of the Amish community, and they live like next door to the Amish people.
The Witness?
Is it? Is that it?
No.
But it goes through this whole thing. It's like a murder mystery almost, you know, and not really super supernatural or anything until you get to the end, and then there's like a fake-out trick ending with a demon coming out of the floor.
That's not.
That's Wes Craven. Tim, do you know this movie he's talking about?
First Borgnine, Wes Craven? No. I don't think that's a thing. It might be a John Carpenter thing.
No.
Oh, crap. Let me see if I can find it. Because I don't remember what the hell it's called. I think it was early 80s. Or was it Wes Craven or was it... No, it wasn't Wes Craven. It was Nightmare on Elm Street, dude. Toby Hooper.
That's Wes Craven is Nightmare on Elm Street.
You're getting real confused.
Toby Hooper's Texas Chainsaw.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Sorry. I was looking at Nightmare on Elm Street when I was looking up Wes Craven.
Wait, are you talking Eaten Alive?
I don't think so. This was called... hold on, I'm on it. I'm getting there. Nope, it wasn't him either. Damn it, who was this? I guess I just need to look up Ernest Borgnine.
This is probably like a TV movie that you watched.
No, it was an actual movie. It was like early 80s, 82 or 84 or something like that, I think. I guess it probably would have been... It was 81. It was Deadly Blessing was the name of it.
Deadly Blessing?
Which is a Wes Craven-directed movie. I was right. Okay. So yeah, Ernest Borgnine, Deadly Blessing, had early Sharon Stone in it.
Well, hell, there's a trailer for the Hellboy movie out.
There it is?
Yeah. Official trailer.
Oh.
Oh, and sort of a cameo with Douglas Barr. Yeah, in case anybody cares.
He looks like Sylvester Stallone in the first Blood.
Oh, the hair?
Yeah, look at him, dude.
Is it just like obviously weird muscle?
You started this.
They drew First Blood.
Okay. Wait, you mean the newer movie, right?
Come on, how long have we been lost in these woods?
That was just Rambo, wasn't it? Sorry.
You lost in the woods.
Oh, shit.
Oh, no.
Are we doing this?
I don't have any...
That tree just blinked at me.
Oh, no!
That's no tree. That's Stallone.
Oh, man.
Looks like Ryan's missing us.
Looks like somebody's lost.
Oh, no.
Just gotta follow your footprints back.
No.
Can you smell that campfire? It's only 10 miles away.
You sound like you're doing Sylvester Stallone meets, what's his name?
You don't even have a compass. You went into the woods without a compass.
Sounds like Bill Murray from Caddyshack meets Sylvester Stallone.
even get a signature from the Dalai Lama.
What?
Oh God, that's good.
Well,
need to chill out.
We need a Foley, is what we need.
To do sound effects?
Yeah, yeah, and like the walking.
You want to do a full-on radio play, is what you're saying?
Yeah, actually, I think I do.
Yeah, well, you know what? Leave me out of it.
No, you're going to help.
I'm not. Stop trying to recruit me for this stuff.
Well, you know, I think we could do this. We just need to Foley some sounds, and Jim's got all the voices.
Those are the only three I can do.
That's fine. That's
not true, but I'm glad you're drawing the line.
Three is all we need to successfully pull off this Lost in the Woods buddy movie.
It's not a movie. It's
a radio play.
It's a podcast radio play. Fair. The most popular of mediums.
Exactly. We're going to... what are we going to do? We're going to light a fire under it, baby.
Mm-hmm. Not me.
Oh, yeah. You're helping.
Yeah. How's that 24-hour podcast going then?
You're
going
to be part of the Foley crew.
No.
Oh, yeah.
I'll play toy saxophone. That's about it.
All right. Well, you can help contribute to the...
Can I do the soundtrack?
You can contribute to the soundtrack then.
Why does he have so many packages? Somebody help that man. Somebody get that man a shield.
You need help? There's one package for the line. That's a t-shirt.
So are we going to do an unboxing podcast?
We're not doing an unboxing podcast.
Oh.
We're doing a boxing podcast.
Is John there?
No.
Oh.
Brian, did you watch the Bears game?
Of course. Watch everyone.
Wow, that was a quick watch.
Did you watch the Bears game?
The Bears. No, I...
Did you sit there and be upset and talk about how the Bears suck the whole time?
Yeah.
I don't watch the sports.
Okay, you got to change your attitude.
No, it was fun. It was a fun game.
Most of the game, unfortunately, setting up with Bears' current holiday party, so... Yeah. Kind of watched it out of side my eye there.
I spent most of the game doing curls and squats.
That's good.
You got some reps in, boy?
Yeah. I threw on the soundtrack to Top Cappy.
Oh, you lost me. Sorry.
Top Cappy?
So, it's Christmas next week. It'll be Christmas already before we do our next show, so happy holidays, everyone. How'd your Christmas party go?
What?
How'd your Christmas party go?
I didn't feel too good, so I left pretty early.
Oh.
You left without saying goodbye to
people. I always leave without saying goodbye to people.
Isn't that an Irish goodbye?
Tim almost got in a fight.
Tim got into a fight?
Almost.
Oh. Like a fisticuffs or just an argument?
Yeah. Let's see. Addison disappeared. Like, he disappeared in front of our very eyes. He just vanished. And then he reappeared 5 seconds later, and he was wearing different clothes.
You just...
Trick of the year. Merry Christmas.
You changed your clothes during the party?
Did you really?
No.
Also, his nose was bleeding.
I think Jim just blinked really slowly.
Yeah.
This is very strange. Jim, you're weird.
So, you know... I know that you know that I knew that I wasn't going to come, but
yeah,
you know, being invited would have been nice.
What? Wait a minute. You did this to me last year.
You invited me last year.
Oh, my God.
You weren't invited?
I wasn't. I wasn't not invited, but I wasn't invited either.
Like on Facebook, there was nothing.
I'm not on Facebook.
That's why.
Yeah.
The invites only went through Facebook.
You only invite people on Facebook?
Yeah,
that's how we always do it.
Ugh.
Other people invited other people, though, which is not going to happen anymore.
So it's a...
people who weren't direct invites?
Yeah.
Limited invite.
Yeah.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
I guess this is sort of a pro tip. So, folks, if you go to, you know, make your break into being a freelance person and... You know, you work by yourself a lot, and don't let it consume you. Don't just stop visiting your friends and being around, because eventually they won't invite you anymore. So,
are you trying to make us feel bad?
No, I'm pointing out a thing, because this is true. I don't blame anybody. It's just that's the way things go. If you keep saying no long enough, eventually people will stop inviting you.
Seeing your friends, they stop asking you to do things?
If people ask you to do stuff often enough and you say no every time, eventually they stop asking.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the way things are. You know? So that's something you should be aware of, that you should not let like your freelance working at home thing consume you to the point that you don't accept invites from your friends. You should still keep in contact and keep your relationships alive. You know? It's important, is what I'm saying. Don't be
so
like
if I had invited you, you would have come?
No. But it's still nice to be invited. One of these years I might actually show up.
Well, I don't
care. Will you bring a portable radio so you can do a podcast?
Why would I do a podcast with a portable radio?
I don't know how podcasts are made.
You're here, buddy. This is how podcasts are made.
I don't think he knows what a podcast is.
Oh, okay. I mean, I suppose we could broadcast it if we got a bunch of those little FM transmitters to plug into your car.
That's what I'm talking about.
So, yeah, we could try that sometime. Do like a car cast. Huh, Mike? Huh?
I'm not doing anything else. Stop trying to get me to do other podcasts.
Eventually we'll make something work. I like this radio play idea, though. It's a good idea, Mike.
No, we're not doing a radio play.
It was your idea.
It was not my idea. I just said it sounded like a radio play. Well, I didn't say, let's make a radio play.
He who named it claimed it. So.
No, that is not the...
That was a good idea, Mike. We got to get on this.
Mm-hmm.
Strike while the iron's hot.
Somebody let one go. Mm. Whoever smelled dealt it.
Oh, no.
I mean... Look at the wealth of material we have available to us. This is important, Mike.
That one.
Yeah, at least record it so that Jim can listen to it.
Yeah, Jim will definitely sit at home by the fire with his cats.
Dude, I'll listen to it while I'm doing my squats.
Right on. Get those reps in.
Be doing some crunches.
Yeah.
Listening to whatever you're talking about.
It's like an old-timey radio play. Ask Mike. He's the one that named it. He'll explain it to you.
I'm not going to explain nothing.
You got some explaining to do.
I ain't doing nothing.
So, what's your guys' holiday plans?
Well, I'm probably going to rewatch this Mr. T. Emmanuel Lewis Christmas special we just watched.
I didn't know there was such a thing.
Yeah.
You remember those, I remember seeing pictures when Mr. T. had Nancy Reagan on his knee.
Mm-hmm.
And he was giving her Mr. T. dolls for Christmas. Mm-hmm. That was a weird time period.
This is about that time.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. He was trying to really branch out there because he had the whole Mr. T. video.
They never explained him... Why he said? What he said? He inferred that he lost another child.
They didn't go back.
I was like, I thought that was going to be a plot point because he clearly mentions, "Oh no, not again! I can't lose another child."
So, is this on like YouTube or something?
Yeah, it's called A Christmas Dream with Mr. T and Emmanuel Lewis.
Oh. Now I'm picturing like a Mr. T and the Emmanuel series crossover, though. That's kind of
why? Stop it.
Emmanuel with Sylvia Christel?
Because that would just be weird, man.
Really? You think?
Yeah. Oh, there we go. I found it. Hey.
Mr. T and Emmanuel.
So,
on Cinemax.
So you folks traveling? What's going on?
That sounds torrid.
Ah, Trey Torrid.
It does sound torrid.
Yeah.
I'm going to Wisconsin.
What's in Wisconsin?
My sister and her daughter.
Nice, so family visit.
My Emily.
No, he's going for the water slides.
In the winter?
Oh my god.
They have them. They have indoor water parks.
Did you ever? Do you have any friends that don't understand sarcasm?
Is that a rhetorical question?
I'm not talking to you.
Oh.
Stargasm.
Starring
Sylvia Christel and Mr. T.
Yeah. Emmanuel in space. Wait, that was one.
I saw that one.
I think that might have actually been one.
It is one.
It's definitely not Sylvia Christel, though.
It's one of the new ones. I've never seen any of them, I mean.
Mm-hmm.
Were they all actually porn?
I don't know. I've never seen one. Okay.
I mean, the early ones were just sort of like erotic comma kind of things, right? Like.
Did you say erotic comma?
Well, I was gonna say erotic comedies, but I don't know if they were actually all that funny.
Not the cannibal one.
Cannibal one.
Yeah, man.
Oh, Emmanuel in Space was a series, TV series. In 1994.
Was it based on a comic book?
On what channel?
Says it just says for cable and syndication. Have Krista Allen as Emmanuel.
There you go. She was on one of those Project Greenlights.
And they made 7 episodes. I guess they were like, well, it was early 90s, so I guess they were like movie length episodes or something.
Crank, I've never seen them.
I've never seen this one either. I vaguely remember seeing some of the early ones.
There's one Emmanuel in the cannibals or something. It's quite controversial.
Did she get eaten?
No, but it had some pretty graphic stuff in there. Tim probably knows all about it.
What's that?
Emmanuel and the cannibal.
I do not. I wish I did.
I'm not seeing an Emmanuel and the cannibals. When was it made?
I don't know, it was like the 70s.
Wow, they just did, like in 2011, they did a series called Emmanuel Through Time.
She's a time traveler.
Huh.
This is starting to sound suspiciously like Back to the Future.
Oh, here it is, 1977, Emmanuel and the Last Cannibals.
There you go.
Yeah. Oh, it was a Joe D'Amato movie. D'Amato.
Yeah.
That seems like a weird choice to do a erotic movie, doesn't it? I mean, wasn't he mostly horror stuff? Thriller stuff? Gore stuff?
Like, exploitation.
Yeah, yeah. I know I've seen a lot of films by him.
Trying to think of the other movie that was on that 5-pack.
Well, while you think of that, I saw earlier today, because I think we were talking, weren't we talking about Fast and the Furious recently? I think we were. So I saw on Amazon, for $20, you can get a Blu-ray box set of Fast and the Furious 1 through 7. And it comes in a lenticular light-up box, where the dash gauge lights up in the box.
Guess I know how to finish off my Christmas shopping.
$20, dude, for 7 Blu-rays.
I saw that, and I still didn't buy it.
In a special package. I think that's pretty cool. I mean, I'm not going to buy it, but I think it's pretty cool. Yeah. And, yeah, so.
Oh, The Devil's Own. That was the other one.
Which one's that?
That's the one with Brad Pitt playing an Irishman.
Is he an IRA dude?
Yeah, and he stays at Harrison Ford's house.
Huh. It doesn't sound very exciting.
Yeah, I don't know how authentic it was.
I mean, I think I'd actually rather see a movie about Brad Pitt staying at Harrison Ford's house. That might be more fun. Maybe not, though. I don't know. What do I know? What else did I watch recently?
This Batman stamp is a forever stamp. And so it just says Batman Forever on the stamp.
All right.
Man.
Do you think they knew?
That's forever stamp.
But it's not actually a Batman Forever stamp, right?
Batman Forever stamp. Well, I got a Christmas card from Dave Kellett.
Chris Nitton says, "Dear Mike, Tim, Ryan, Jim, Denny, Sean, Jonathan, Josh, Jonathan,
Josh? And Addison.
What, no crank?
I guess. Who's Josh? Okay, sorry. I just think of him as Emmons. I never... I simply wanted to drop you all a quick note to say I couldn't have had a nicer time the other night. Thanks for thinking of me and getting this hermit out of his cave for a bit. Merry plus happy everything, your twitchy friend, Chris.
He is twitchy.
What a great guy.
See, and that underscores the importance of what I was saying before. You've got to get out and accept those invitations, people. You know?
Well, I see Chris out quite a bit. Of course, I don't go out either, so when I do, I see him. Yeah, I see him at shows.
That's it.
Stop undermining my message.
I saw him at Mystery Science Theater.
Oh, we'll see.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you're getting out, too.
I'm not. I'm going in. I'm going inside.
You're going all in. So, yeah.
Is there any mail?
Are we there already?
I don't know.
Did Ryan have a sports ball minute?
Nope. Bears are really good. That's interesting. That's about it.
Okay.
Yeah, they're actually all right this year.
No, they're really good. As a person that's roots for the Lions every year and has never seen them win anything, Bears are good. Celebrate it.
Oh, my.
Still very good times.
Crank, do you watch football sports?
No. I wasn't actually aware it was football season.
Do we have a lot of football sports listeners?
Probably.
I don't know. I'm sure.
I like the football Bears.
Lots of people like the sports balls. There was one other movie I wanted to mention that I watched. Oh! I'm blanking on his name now, though. Have you ever seen The Apartment? It had Shirley MacLaine and Jack Lemmon in it?
Yeah.
Billy
Wilder?
Is that a Billy Wilder movie?
It sure is.
I saw that for the first time. Was that before or after Irma LaDuce? I'm guessing before, because it was black and white. That doesn't necessarily mean anything, though, I guess. But anyway, I was expecting this movie, The Apartment, that is. I was expecting that to be sort of a comedy, because it sort of starts off like a comedy. But it gets really dark. And it's also interesting in that it's got a lot of pretty terrible people in it. And they're all actors that you associate with, like, likable roles.
Fred Gwynn?
Was that Fred Gwynn? I know it had, what's his name from My Three Sons, or whatever. McMurray? Was that his name?
Fred McMurray, that's what I meant.
Yeah, it had Fred McMurray, it had Ray Walston, it had, what's his name, Darren's boss from Bewitched. Tate?
I mean, you've seen Double Indemnity, right?
I think so, but I don't recall it off the top of my head.
That's Billy Wilder, too, and McMurray plays a villain in that.
Oh.
With the Falling Off the Train movie?
Yeah.
I just thought this was weird in that, like I said, I associated most of these guys with roles and likable roles, you know? And they're all, I mean, it's not like they're murderers or anything in this movie, but they're, like, pretty terrible to women.
Yeah.
And if that movie is at all accurate of the working life in the 50s, I guess that was, or was that the 60s? Late 50s, I think, wasn't it? Mid-50s, whatever. It's a wonder any women actually worked at that point. I mean, if that's how they were treated, like, Christ, man.
I think I just bought that movie because it's been years. I saw it on VHS years ago. I need to watch it again.
I had been meaning to watch it for a while because last year, I guess, or maybe the year before, I had watched Irma LaDuce, and I liked that. And then I saw that they had made another movie together, so I've been meaning to watch it for a while, but yeah. I mean, it was a good movie. It didn't go where I thought it was going to go, you know, like, got pretty dark.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that was a good one, too, though.
I made some dark shit, man.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Made some hope.
Billy Wilder.
I've never seen Ace in the Hole yet, heavy crank.
Wasn't Billy Wilder the guy that did that, Nobody Gonna Break in My Stride song?
It's Matthew Wilder.
Okay.
Now make a Gene Wilder joke. I mean, that's all the Wilders.
Is that all the Wilders we have?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No more Wilders. I'm looking at movies that Billy Wilder did.
That's what he was just referring to. Yeah, Ace in the Hole. He didn't do Sweet Smell of Success, did he?
That's a good question.
These all sound like porn titles.
That was real good.
I mean,
pretty dark, too.
Pretty dark.
Oh, The Lost Weekend. I think I've seen that.
Oh, that's a great one.
I vaguely remember seeing that one.
That's a rough one.
Oh, Sunset Boulevard. That was his, too.
That's fantastic.
And Stalag 17. I saw that when I was a kid.
Billy Holden.
Oh, Sabrina. Of course.
Yeah, man, he did some classics.
Love in the Afternoon, 7 Year Itch. Okay, yeah, I've seen Billy Wilder movies. Some Like It Hot.
Yeah.
Oh, and he also did Irma LaDuce. Okay, so...
I watched Some Like It Hot with a friend who had never seen it, and he thought it was, it had aged very poorly.
Yes, I think the exact same thing. I had never seen it until a couple months ago.
Yeah, I had never seen it until last year, but I thought it was still funny.
Yeah, I think that just the politics of it.
Yeah, a little. It's just fucking, the movie feels creepy as fuck to me.
Yeah, yeah, it is. And the Weinstein era, it's a little creepy.
Yeah.
Still funny, though.
Huh.
But I thought it was also, in an odd way, very forward-thinking as well.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I don't feel like it was terribly homophobic. I mean, the ending of it seemed like it was just more, okay, like, you know.
Yeah.
Like, this is cool, whatever.
Nobody's perfect.
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, I still thought it was a fairly funny movie, though. All right, then. Hey, Mike, do we have any email? Are you daydreaming about being a sax star?
Oh, yeah, sort of.
Did anybody else see the new Tomb Raider movie?
Not yet.
There's a new Tomb Raider?
Yeah, I told you.
I liked it.
Yeah, she's great. It's pretty empty calories.
Yeah.
Hi, chaps. Just wanted to wish you both, Julie, the dogs, and Four Star Studios gang, very Merry Christmas, and thank you for another great year of podcasts. Crank, your recent hospital scare had me very worried. Hope you find out what caused it. What are your plans for the holidays? Cheers, Captain Colin.
Well, thank you. Still don't really know what it was, but it was probably just something muscular. Minor strains, whatever. We I guess we kind of already talked about, well, we didn't really. Jim was the only one that actually answered my question about holiday plans. I guess Mike sort of did. He said he was going to rewatch Mr. T and Emmanuel.
I was kidding. I'm going to Iowa.
Huh. Right on.
Me? What? Everyone's holiday plans?
Well, I mean, if you want to talk, you don't have to. I mean.
Yeah, not really.
Okay. Everybody, nothing. All right. I'm just gonna have the foods with the families and
go across the street to your mom's house.
Well, not across the street. It's less than a mile away though.
It's way less than a mile away.
Not way less. I mean, it's more than a half mile and less than a mile. I know because Mount Healthy is only a mile by a mile. We live on opposite.
Have you ever walked over there?
Rode my bike.
I don't know why I think you on a bike is the funniest thing ever.
Why?
I don't know. I just said I don't know why I think that.
I'm an excellent bike rider. Definitely excellent.
I'm sure you are, but
I picture it's a bike where with like a little bell on it.
No, yeah.
It actually does have a little bell on it.
Like two times too small for him. Like it looks like he stole it from a little kid.
No, that's not my bike.
And he's still smoking while he's driving it.
I do smoke while I ride. Yeah.
Yeah.
See, I picture like a 1950s bike that's really big and rigid.
No.
No, it's a 70s bike. It's red, white, and blue. It's from like the mid-70s, you know, when everything was red, white, and blue.
Does it have a banana seat and a Roadrunner flag hanging from the back of it?
No, it's just got a little bike rack on the back, and I got a bell on the front, and I got a tail light and a headlight, and reflectors in the spokes, you know.
You got baseball cards in the spokes, do you?
No, I never could get those to work when I was a kid. They'd always fall out. It's a good bike, though. A very good bike. 10-speed.
Henrik from Denmark writes, "Hi, Crank, Mike, and other festive peoples. I just wanted to wish you all a happy holidays, and I hope the Yule Man brings you lots of presents."
Yule Man!
Yule Man! I am happy to hear...
like you were saying Spoon Man.
Yeah, that's what I was doing.
Okay.
I am happy to hear that Crank is in good health despite the recent scare. I have a lot of American friends, so I am always careful not to be the one of those obnoxious Europeans who can only talk about how much better everything is over here.
Hey, you can argue it for me, man.
But I will say that I find it very saddening that people should be concerned about whether or not they can afford to call for an ambulance. But according to the Republican Party, I am living in a socialist hellhole, so what do I know?
Well, according to Trump, we're a hellhole too, so I don't...
It has been another great Crankcast year. I look forward to 2019. Perhaps we will even get another 24-hour podcast.
And a radio play.
No. And one can certainly hope, I am counting on at least 20 more years of Crankcast.
Oh, no.
Henrik from Denmark.
Wow.
Yeah.
That would make 33 years? Is that, that would be, yeah, something like that, right?
Henrik, I am not going to make that. So, but thank you for giving me the benefit of the doubt.
You'll be fine. Thanks, Henrik.
It must have been 20 years, Candy.
Oh, so, okay, he reminded me of something I wanted to ask you guys about that I don't understand the logic of. I mean, I do understand the logic of what they're doing, but I don't understand how they can pull it off like they're not doing it. And that, okay, so on the night of the 15th when the open enrollment expired,
mm-hmm.
A Texas federal judge basically declared that the ACA was unconstitutional,
mm-hmm.
and which is sort of a big deal, but it's not like an immediate big deal because it's still got to get bumped up in the courts for a final decision and stuff anyway. And it's not like you put an injunction on it or anything. But for one thing, I mean, I always find it dodgy when they do this shit after hours. Like on the,
yeah, they do a lot of that now.
On the night of a you know, big deal, right? That always seems really suspicious anyway. But the logic behind the argument was that because the Republicans took away the mandate, which if for some reason you don't know what I'm talking about, the mandate meant that everybody was required to have health insurance. You had to buy it, you know, through the marketplace or whatever. This year, or was it late last year, the Republicans repealed that part of the ACA, which I still am convinced is a major part of what caused the insurance companies to raise all the rates in the marketplace.
Well, all the rates are down this year.
All the low price plans are gone from the marketplace, though. Well, relatively speaking, I guess. I mean, there's still lower price plans, but all the super low price plans are gone from the marketplace now. But anyway, so because... Now, it was the Republicans that repealed the mandate. And then the Republicans say that because they repealed the mandate, that therefore makes the rest of it unconstitutional? But they're the ones that repealed the mandate, right? Like, how does the logic work? I mean, and again, I understand what they're doing. Their stated goal from the get-go was that they want it gone. They want to dismantle the whole thing, mm-hmm. which is what they're doing, right? You know, I mean, that's not what I'm confused about. But how do they put this as a logical argument that, I mean, it's like me... Okay, say, you know, as a group of friends, we have a constitution, right, or something. And I decide to, like, fuck up part of that, and then I go along to say, well, since I fucked up this part of it, the rest of it is null and void as well. Like, isn't that essentially what they're doing?
Yeah.
How is that not just, like, dismissed, you know?
I don't know.
I don't understand it exactly. Like... And I don't, it's just really confusing, you know?
Yeah. This sneaky as shit.
Huh. All right, well, I just thought maybe I'd run that by you guys, see if maybe you could explain it to me a little better. But
well.
Sounds like you're as confused as I am.
I draw comic books.
Yeah, but, you know, you guys are collectively pretty smart.
Mm.
I mean, I think most of you are probably smarter than I am about this stuff.
Well, you won't even go to the hospital when you're about to die.
I wasn't about to die.
We're going to start this again.
You brought it up. Anyway. Do we have any more email?
No.
Okay. Well, thanks for writing. We appreciate you. Even if Mike acts all grumpy and acts like he doesn't appreciate it, he appreciates it.
I appreciate people. I have no problem saying that.
Yeah. See, Mike appreciates you. Come back to Mike.
Come back to the five and dime.
Right on. All right, then. I should have looked this up already. Does anybody have anything in stores this week?
Yes.
What?
Grumble number 2 is out. And so is Grave Danger 5.
Wait, how is Grimble number 2 out already?
Because the first one was late because of the printer.
Oh, right. Okay. Yay, Grimble number... That would explain why I got my comp copies from Albatross. Yes.
Oh, that must be what that box
is. Yeah,
that's
what I gave you, I'm pretty sure.
That's a pretty heavy box, too.
Yeah, it's a heavy-ass box.
You didn't have to pick it up?
Well, it wasn't, like... It's heavy, it just wasn't. It's not unwieldy. I didn't need a fucking forklift.
Like, I don't know about the one you guys got, but the box I got that had the Grumble stuff in it.
Where do you want this box? Ray 12.
Oh, God.
It was a fairly small size box, but it was normally heavy for the size of it.
Yeah.
Andrea knows how to. She can bend space and time, I think, when she's packing that stuff.
Must have been. It didn't have, like, yeah, because it was packed. It was well packed.
Crank, you know what the line this is from?
What?
Rank 12, please.
What?
Do you know what movie this is from? It's a famous quote from a good movie.
It's not a Rank famous 12. Quote.
It is.
It is not.
Rank 12, please.
Lots of people love that quote.
I know. Nope, can't say I can place it at all.
It's right up there with mostly.
Than aliens?
There you go. See, I knew you knew it.
Well, the mostly thing, that one I know.
Mostly in Bay 12, please. 2 best lines from that movie.
Just because you say it doesn't make it true.
Why is Bay 12 significant to you?
I don't know. I also, like, going all the way back to high school, we'd make Bay 12 jokes.
I mean, if you said, like, Game Over Man or something, you know, that'd be different. Or, like,
you put her in Bay 12, please.
Or, like, nuke him from orbit or something, you know?
It's the only way to beat Bay 12, please.
Oh, God.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't get the Bay 12 love.
Freaked out and screams about why don't you put her in charge. That's one of my favorite parts of the movie. It's great because he's complaining, but he's hilarious.
Huh.
I wouldn't mind watching Aliens again.
Is that, like, a Christmas movie for you?
It could have been during Christmas.
Yeah, we don't know what the seasons are in LB426.
Yeah, and all the comments are already eaten up, so...
Any movie you watch at Christmas is a Christmas movie.
Yeah, it really seems like the whole Die Hard argument's taken on a new level lately.
Yeah.
I think it's intentionally gotten ridiculous, maybe? I'm not sure.
I don't know, I'm going to go see it tonight.
And I
don't get why there needs to be an argument.
I don't know. I mean, I never really kind of considered it a Christmas movie, but it wasn't ever worth arguing about. Like, you know, I mean, because I watch Flash Gordon for Thanksgiving, so I can't argue about Die Hard for Christmas, right?
Yeah, we're watching Flash Gordon.
Flash Gordon. But I mean, the argument is that it takes place during Christmas. I don't know why there needs to be an argument against it to make it anything.
I want to fight otherwise.
I guess it's just real pushback against people saying it's a Christmas movie. I don't know. Like,
also, all Shane Black can be the Christmas. There you go.
That new Predator was Halloween, though, wasn't it?
Oh, you're right. That's good.
Wait, are you going to argue that Halloween's a Christmas movie?
No,
if you were Shane Black. Wait, what did I talk about? I don't know.
No, Tim said that all Shane Black movies are Christmas movies, but the newest Predator took place during Halloween.
Oh.
What probably originally was kind of place Christmas.
They're like, yeah, come on, Shane Black.
Yeah, they recut it. That's what they refilmed. They reshot it.
The Longest Goodnight? Or Longest Goodbye? What is it?
Goodnight.
Longest Goodnight, yeah. Goodbye is the Robert Altman.
Oh, hey, Hack/ Resurrection Volume 2 Blood Simple Trade Paperbacks in stores this week, too.
Whoa. There's a lot going on.
There's a lot of words.
A lot of words in that title.
Do I need to repeat myself?
Yeah.
It's the Hack/ Resurrection Volume 2 Blood Simple Trade Paperback. It's in stores today at your favorite comic shop. or online.
You sounded like the disclaimer at the end of a pharmaceutical commercial.
Pharmaceutical commercials.
Make our sterility.
Terry, no.
Make our sterility, diarrhea, and death.
So do you hear when you slow it down?
That's the way it works.
Big cars exploding organs.
Exploding organs.
Sounds like a from a RoboCop commercial or something.
Exploding organs. I feel uncomfortable right now. What's happening?
Excuse me. Have your organs exploded?
Have you been taking that new pill for sleep disorder? You know, it may cause exploding organs.
Oh, if your organs have exploded, please call Achani.
What? What was that?
Oh, you know, they show all those ambulance chaser commercials now.
I'm shocked that Jim hasn't said may cause B12, please.
Come on, man. How low do you think?
Don't encourage him.
It's like when you drive through Gary, Indiana, and there's all the, have you been in a motorcycle accident billboards?
No, I don't remember seeing that. I just went through Gary, Indiana not long ago.
There's lots of accident lawyers on that.
I think that Gary, Indiana is always a blank whenever I go through it. I never remember anything about Gary when I go through Gary.
Maybe it's a bit near the triangle.
Stop talking.
You don't remember going through Gary, but you're always dressed like Elvis when you leave.
I don't understand what he's saying.
It's the strangest thing, isn't it? Yeah, I did want to say, too, Elvis. I mentioned last week that I was working on a book with Ginettes, and Dark Horse announced it this week. Or was it last week?
Yay.
And it was announced on the Sci-Fi Wire website. That was weird.
You did it.
Sci-Fi Wire.
Yeah. But it's called Astro Hustle.
Astro Hustle?
Astro Hustle.
Astro Hustle. And it's a sort of a 70s, early 80s exploitation type movie. In space. Kind of.
Astro Hustle sounds like a side effect.
It could be a side effect. Maybe not exploding organ level.
May cause Astro Hustle.
I think it's kind of a funny title because, you know, Jai is like the king of hustle.
Yes.
He is.
That man is always working, dude. hustling, I should say. But anyway, so yeah, that was announced. It should be fun.
Not so bad.
It's coming out in January, I think. We've almost got 4 issues actually done.
My birthday is in January.
Well, congratulations.
You got Astro Hustle for your birthday.
Huh?
You got Astro Hustle for your birthday.
Maybe I will get it.
You got to get your hustle on.
It depends on whether I start taking this new sleeping aid.
Just watch your organs, man. Watch your organs. Oh, this is funny.
Some of those things are legitimately scary.
Yeah, the side effects that they list are sometimes like seem like they're worse than the thing you're trying to cure.
Yeah.
I think it's really interesting how often antidepressant drugs will cause you to be suicidal.
Mm-hmm. I often think about that, too. Crazy.
Which is why you should never just try to self-medicate that shit, because, you know, you need to be under a doctor's supervision so that they can monitor your reactions to it.
Well, it tells you to ask your doctor about it.
I mean, you need a prescription.
Right, but a lot of that stuff you can get dodgy-wise if you want to. I mean, I'd go out and get Ritalin now if I wanted to. Not that that's necessarily something that's going to cause me to commit suicide, but I'm saying that's...
Cranky can get you a human toe, no problem. I'll have it here and in house.
It's all on the dark webs, you know.
Oh, no, you said the magic words for Ryan.
Uh-oh.
Big dark web fan.
He's all about the dark web lately.
Dude, you can get everything on the dark web.
It's all about the dark webs.
I don't even know how you access the dark web. Is it like a code?
Just Google www.darkweb.net and then you're on. That's it.
Do you like a supercomputer?
No. but
that's like on how this it may when June goes, what is a Street Fighter?
What is a Street Fighter?
What exactly is a Street Fighter?
Well, what is a Street Fighter, Mike? It's a movie with Sonny Chiba.
The fucking street is who it is.
I mean, it's a movie with Sonny Chiba.
Yeah, he's a dude who fights in the fucking street.
Yeah.
If you want to fight, he'll fight you in the street.
Exactly.
Does he not fight indoors?
He'll fight anywhere, but he's really willing to fight in the street.
Well, he uses his surrounding, right? Throws garbage can lids and...
So
also loves to beat up cars.
So like the Greasers and the Socias and the Outsiders, they weren't Street Fighters because they were fighting in a park, right?
No, they were totally Street Fighters.
They were park fighters.
Well, they fought in the street too.
Okay. So they were Street Fighters.
You can consider this park the street.
Okay. So we're talking about the streets.
Shiba fight past car in Final Fight.
Mm-hmm.
That bonus stage. That's fucking awesome. And he comes and he says, oh, my car, and sees how you've destroyed his car.
Street Fighters do not like automobiles.
I really just like the fact that our heroes are just destroying the gangster's car. Just because. I think that's great. It's very heroic.
They consider not other people's property.
Well, they do consider it. They consider beating the hell out of the stuff that these criminals love. That is great.
Especially their cars, because cars don't belong in the street.
There should be a bonus one where they burn the criminal's house down.
And take their dogs away.
Yeah.
Not beat up the dogs?
No, take the dogs away. You don't hurt the dogs. Dogs don't know no better.
They kick and punch the different sections of the dog in order to destroy them.
No, you don't hurt the dog. Now the cat, on the other hand.
Video games?
Yeah.
I mean, is that on the YouTube?
Jim, you play video games.
How are you younger than me?
1988, so...
I was 14 in 1988.
Yeah, that's perfect arcade time, man.
I was already smoking and doing curls.
Did you say curls or girls?
Curls.
Definitely curls.
He was getting ripped doing his reps, man.
Man.
I didn't realize you were supposed to use your arms for him, though. That's a problem.
Were you trying to lift him with your cigarette?
I was giving myself a perv.
You're so
I wanted to look like Ellen Ripley in Aliens.
You're so stupid.
Hey, now, that's a little judgy. Anyway.
Instead, I just look like Ellen Ripped.
Well, this day's shaping up. All right. So, I guess that's it for this week.
Mm-hmm.
Side effects of listening to the Crankcast may include explosive diarrhea.
Why?
I don't know, because I'm getting it.
That's those tacos you ate.
Is that the empanadas?
TMI, buddy.
I don't actually think it's the empanadas themselves. I think it's the hot sauce, the copious amounts of hot sauce. That's my theory.
Oh, yeah.
You're in the Bronx.
Yeah.
Empanadas. All right. I guess that's it for this week. You can reach us at crankcast.com, crankcast@gmail.com if you want to email us. You can go read BattlePug at battlepug.com.
Mm-hmm.
Grumble 2's out. Grumble 1's just been out. So you can get 1 and 2, like, and they're all still minty fresh.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get a double grumble, a grumble dose.
You're mad at me, are you?
Stop it!
Open Grumble 2 so I can read it.
Is he hugging you?
This is our response.
He's putting his stupid fake hand on me.
They like it.
Yeah. We're good.
Okay. Well, hope you, everybody, has a good holiday. Enjoy Christmas. If you have Christmas dinner, I hope you eat well.
Thank you. You too.
Yeah, buddy. Man. Have a good holiday, dude.
Yeah.
And I think we'll talk before the new year, maybe?
Yeah, we will.
Cool.
So we'll catch you then, and goodbye.
Hey, Crank, have a happy holiday.
You too, dude.
Thanks.
I can't believe you're going to do that in some sort of impression.